tonight I just want to preach something that the Lord won't let me out of Ephesians 5. I mean, we've been in it really, you may not remember, you probably don't, but I just keep coming back here. When we dealt with the bride, of course, we were here. And it was just last week and on Wednesday night, and this isn't really part of the Bible study, though it could easily tie in. But tonight, really, just want to preach a message, kind of an interim thing, in going into what we'll be going to as far as our next series, our next Bible study series. And we'll get into that more really in a week or two. But I like sometimes the liberty of just being able to make sure that we're following the Lord. So tonight, Ephesians 5, we're just going to read a few verses. And when we read these verses, you're going to automatically, as many times as I do, you're going to automatically, you're going to apply it a certain way in your mind. And you're automatically, it's going to mean something to you. It's what it always means to you, the same thing. You're going to be thinking certain things. And it is all those things, but there's even more. And sometimes right in front of our face, we miss some things. And anyway, there's more than one truth application anyway to every passage. Verse number 25 of Ephesians 5. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Has it really ever dawned on you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves the church? The Bible says he purchased it with his own blood. I know we've heard that a million times. And when many times we read that, we get the husbands love your wife, even as Christ loved. And certainly he's making that comparison. And certainly it's talking about a husband and wife. And certainly it's talking about how a man ought to love his wife. Sure it is. But what kept jumping out at me over and over and over again, the last several times I read this, was the second part. He's making the comparison of each one of these verses. He says, husbands, love your wives, and then it says, even as Christ also loved the church. If you just were to circle that part where it just says, Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. And then when you move on, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What's the it? The church. Right? He loves the church. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might not only cleanse it and sanctify it, but then present it. We're still talking about the church to himself. And watch this word, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. It begins to define what that looks like, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loved his wife loved himself. Jump to verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, watch this again, even as the Lord the church. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ nourishes the church. He cherishes the church. He cares for the church. He sanctifies the church. He cleanses the church. He's going to present the church. And it says he loves the church. Isn't that wonderful? You know who the church is? It's not this building. It's you and I. And Christ loves the church. Lord, we love you tonight. We ask you to help us. I pray, God, that you would illuminate some things in our heart. God, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Everything I need to say and nothing that does not need to be said. I pray, Lord, you give my stammering lips of clay. I pray you give me clarity of thought, quickness of speech. Cleanse me of sin and to yourself. Lord, it's all said and done. We want to be sure to give you all the praise and the honor and glory. That through only your holy name we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you look at these verses once again, most of you, no doubt, are just like me. You read these verses and immediately you go and you think about the husband and wife relationship, and certainly that's there. But God says so many things to us about his church right here. About his love for us, about his care for us, about the fact that he nourishes and cherishes us, the church. When you read these verses, something else that jumps up, you look at that, go back a minute, verse number 27, that he might present it to himself. And here's what I want to preach on tonight, glorious church. I want to preach tonight on this thought, the marks of a glorious church. He begins to define some things when he says that he might present it, that's the church, to himself, a glorious church. What is a glorious church? Not having spot or wrinkle or any such. without blemish. Now, when you read that verse, you automatically go back, if you know anything about the Old Testament, if you've been versed in that at all, you automatically go back and you start talking about without spot and without blemish. And you start talking about that he's going to present it that way. You begin to think about that lamb in the Old Testament. Amen? We begin to think about that sacrifice in the Old Testament that would be brought as a sin offering or a blood offering. They would have to bring the lamb into the temple to purge their sins. It didn't forgive their sins. It just put their sins off for a year. And then every year they had to come back with that blood offering. And then so much we could talk about there. But there we think back where God said, when you sacrifice to me, his rules, we could go to Leviticus and look at them. The manner of how you were to bring the sacrificial offering. We can go to Exodus and look at some things, how you were supposed to bring those things. But one of the rules, one of the regulations, and when you brought a lamb, was that you could bring a lamb in that was blemished. That lamb, they would take that lamb and keep that lamb for 4 days, watching that lamb very, very closely, very distinctly. They would watch that lamb inside and out, day and night. They watched that lamb for 4 days, that Passover lamb. And after the 4 days was up, if the lamb still seems as perfect as without blemish, there's no spots, there's no dark spots on its fur, there's no limp in its leg, there's no hindrance seemingly to this lamb, then the lamb was okay for temple sacrifices, and there was meat for to be used of God. And God says back there, don't bring me a limping lamb. Don't bring some blemished lamb. Don't bring some animal to give me that's messed up. Don't bring something that's unhealthy to me. Don't bring something that has issues to me. But God said, He said, when you sacrifice to me, bring me your best. You know, that's still what he wants from us, I believe. He said, bring me your best. God says in this verse, that the kind of church that he's looking for is a glorious church. Not having spot or blemish or any such thing. Now, before you get too carried away and get hypersensitive on me, there are no perfect churches today. There are no churches without blemish today. There are no churches that does not have issues today. But that doesn't change the fact that that's the kind of church the Lord Jesus is looking for. He does not want a church that's not at his best. That's not what he's looking for. He does not want the church to be unhealthy, but he wants a glorious church. He wants a glowing church. He wants a growing church. He wants a church that's going on for God. He's looking for a glorious church. And so tonight, just for the next few moments, I want to talk to you, preach to you on the thought of marks of a glorious church. Now, I understand, once again, that the Lord ultimately is going to present us himself. He's going to present us a glorious church, but he's the one that cleanses us. He said it there, right? He's the one that nourishes us. He's the one that can do it. Unto him, Jude says, unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before God, it's the Lord Jesus that's going to do that, right? We're thankful for that. Now, so I understand that, but he said to the church at Sardis, think about it, he says, you know what? He said, you folks have a name that you're living over Revelation chapter 3. He said, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. You're unhealthy. You got some issues. There's some problems. In fact, you're sick. And as far as he told them, you're so sick. Oh, he had all the churches he gave them, right, the itinerary of things. He says, but I have someone against me. But to Sardis, they were sick all the way to death. He said, you got a name that you're living. Can I tell you that there are churches all over this country that has a name, and if you were to go and look them up in the phone book, those are days of the past, but maybe online, and you were to drive by, there's a sign out there, and maybe there's literature that comes out, and you see them on maybe a website, you see them on Facebook or somewhere out there, and there's a church, they're there, they've got a presence, they have a sign, they have a name. Maybe you talk to people out in the community, they say, hey man, you ever heard of this church? Think about this church over here, they're doing something, they're going on, they're getting, but God says, I'm telling you, I'm looking down from the portals of glory, and you're dead. things tonight that I believe we can do to help us become more like this glorious church that the Lord wants us to be. I think every person here tonight desires to be part of a church that's helping. You desire to be part of a church that if things are going well, you desire to be part of a church that don't have all the blemishes, don't have all the spots, don't have all the wrinkles. And over the past few years, especially 7 years ago, and much more before I came here, I cut a lot of it off when I came here, but I had the opportunity to preach at many churches, and thank the Lord for it, and the opportunities, and many different churches. I've been to many good churches, and churches where, man, I believe God was doing a work, and but then I want to tell you something. I've been to some churches that I've preached in that are sick. I'm talking about that churches that don't seem to have the fire anymore. Churches that there's some kind of disease, there's some kind of problem, there's something that's ailing that place, and that place is, and there's no fire anymore. It's a church with no vision anymore. And I preach in some places way away from home, and I'm talking across the country, man, and places where when I get there, I mean, before I even get there, I'm not going to be able to help these people, because what these people need, they need more than a preacher. They listen, they're going to need more than a message. They're going to need more than somebody spoken. That what they need is they need a resurrection, and what they need is some medicine, but they don't even want to take the medicine. They're sick. Bring you and I at Crossroads Baptist Church have an opportunity to have a church tonight that's alive. We have the opportunity to have a church that's healthy. We have the opportunity to have a church that's going on for God, and a church and a platform to do the work of God, to spring from a place that something that we can do with for God and with God that would surpass anything of my imagination or anything of your imagination. Let me tell you what I see every single Sunday morning. Praise God for it. I see a dozen or so men spread all over this auditorium. Thank God. They're praying and they're asking God to come. They're praying for their pastor. They're praying for this church. They're praying for many of you, and they're praying for God to do a work, and God to intervene, and God to change lives, and God to save souls, and God to fix families, and all those kinds of things. And we see that on a weekly basis as folks are coming in. Most every Saturday, last Saturday of the month, we have Operation Go. Most of you know, we'll see 20, sometimes 25, sometimes 30 people come, praise the Lord, and we're going out in the community and telling people about the Lord Jesus. We have the prayer breakfast first, and then spread out all over the community, giving out the gospel and being a lighthouse and doing what God has told us to do. And I want to say to you tonight, listen, you're here, you're looking for a church. Quit looking for a church that'll tickle your fancy. Stop looking for a church that makes you feel important and makes you feel like you're really somebody. Oh, listen, stop looking for churches like that. But look for a church that is on fire for God, and that God is in and God is present. Look for a church that doesn't make much of you, but look for one that makes much of Jesus. I was praying this morning. We was able to go to a meeting, praise the Lord, and it was a good meeting. I was able to go, but I was praying after the message this morning, and you know how it is. We'll pray, and we're praying. You know, we're just praying the vision, praying things. There's some big things we're asking God for, and you pray, and you pray, Lord, just we pray you fill the building up with sinners and fill the building up with people. And God stopped me, and I'm praying, Lord, we pray that you just bring the people in, and the building would be full, and fill the building up with people. The Lord whispered in my heart. He said, why don't you pray that we fill the building up with God? Because if we fill the building up with Him, then people will come. Oh, yes, Jesus said, what if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. What we need to get back to is looking for a presence of Almighty God in our midst. And there's some things that's got to be present in the church if God's going to be present. People go to some old dead, dry church, and they stay at some old dead church because it's convenient to their house, or because they feel like a big fish in a small pond, and they think, boy, they really need me. Can I tell you something? That's the reason they need you, friend, because nobody else is there. Nobody else is doing anything. You know why? Because it's dead. God wrote Ichabod over the door. Glory at the party. Nobody's doing anything. I'm afraid. seen him literally several weeks before, and he's out, he's at a restaurant, things are good, and he's just happy-go-lucky, and the next moment he's dead. Laid up the temple. Heard about a lady today that works with Brother Sam, was telling me about her, and she, you know, was healthy, no problems, and but then comes in one day, got a headache, and dead 3 or 4 weeks later. She had some brain tumor. And I believe that many of our churches are that same way, where on the outside things seem to be all right, but it's a limping lane. It's got blemishes. It's got problems, many times many problems are made up with diseases. I don't want to ever be at church like that. I don't ever want to be there, so I'm doing all I can. I'm working all I can. I'm praying all I can, and we're asking God and making sure that we can keep a loving, working, serving spirit that this church has. I want Crossroads Baptist Church to be a church that's on fire, and a church that's healthy, and a church where, listen, we're not just going through another Sunday. God help us. I come to church because I want to come to church. I just want to go for another Sunday, but we're going on for God. We're not just going through the motions, but we're going forward for God. We're not just floating around on the sea of life. Oh, but we're headed somewhere, and our eyes are fixed on glory. And we have vision, and we know where the Lord wants to take us. We're going to do something for God. The vision hasn't changed. You know, I still want to see hundreds, and we've seen many. Praise the Lord, we've seen many saved. I still see hundreds of children coming in on buses. And praise the Lord for these that are here tonight. We still want to see young men leave out and send them out into the ministry to be a gospel preacher and start churches and do works and take ministries. And we still want to see young people, your children, my children, grow up and become new ministry leaders in junior church and King's kids and running buses. My kids, your kids, I want to see them grow up to become that. And I still want to see this building pull the point. And man, we're seeing it. I mean, often we're seeing God do that, not for the sake of numbers, not for the sake of an empire, but every single one of those people have a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And I want to be a little part in seeing to it that they spend it with the Lord. I want to see a ladies' ministry that can minister, continue to minister to hurting ladies and reach out even greater than we ever had before. Junior church where young people get saved, get grounded in their faith, and grow up and become, once again, those new youth leaders and that kind of thing. And then the seniors' ministry where those senior saints continue to have a place they can get plugged in and they can do things and they can, with like-minded people and people that love the Lord and be encouraged. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth countenance of his friend. Get plugged in with others that will encourage them in the Lord. By the way, let me just say this. If somebody is encouraging you any other way but in the Lord and for the Lord, they're not the friend. They're not the right kind of friend. We don't see that. Even in the seniors' ministry and young people and young married couples, we're a place where, first of all, they can come and build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but in addition to that, can build a relationship with other young couples and other young married couples who are like-minded. I want to see it in a greater outreach and soul winning. Do you believe God can do it?
Amen.
I do. Look what he's already done. Listen. There's enough people out here dying and going to hell. I mean, lost. I'm talking about right here. Why is it tonight, if they can do it in places like California, but why is it if they can do it in places like New Jersey we heard of this morning? Why is it if they can do it in places like that? You tell me why they can't do it right in the middle of Bible Belt. I'm so tired of baggage swapping sheep, man. I mean, I get that mess. I'm not worried about who we're going to get about from somebody else's church. That's never been my game. Anybody that knows me knows I'm against that mess. We don't worry about who's coming from somebody else's church. There's enough false people out there dying and going to hell. Let's go get them. Let's go tell them. Let's go win them. Let's bring them into the house of God and let the glory of God fall and let the word of God pierce their heart and then come and be saved by the wonderful grace of God. What I'm saying tonight, if we're going to build a church, God's going to build it, number one. But if we're going to be a part of it, let us do it with tears running down our face. Let let us do it winning young people and winning mamas and daddies and winning families and winning grandfathers and grandmothers. So let's get out of the boat and do something for God. And I'll tell you tonight, I'm pastoring a church that does that. I'll continue to do that. Continue to all those, if we'll do our part, I believe God can do something. I truly do. I believe 2019 is going to surpass anything that is in my imagination. I still believe that God can raise up a church in Knoxville, Tennessee that people would have to stop and take note of. Watch this. Don't miss this. I'm not talking about because it's an empire. I'm not talking about some mega church where they're rocking out the gospel. I'm not talking about any of those things, but I still believe that God can still do it with old-fashioned Bible preaching. That God can still do it with old-fashioned hymn singing. I still believe it, that God can still do it with old-fashioned Sunday school, amen. And that really small group, praise God. We don't need that mess. Let's have a Bible study in my house because I don't want to come to church, be faithful to church. No, listen, you come to church and God's doing his work in the church and through the church and for the church. You be a part of the house of God and God will use you. I still think God can do it. Sunday school's not in the Bible preaching. You need to get the Bible. That's right. The old one didn't teach the young one. It's all over the Bible. God can still do it that way. I had a man come to me years ago. I was preaching on the radio. And a man called, or no, he came, actually came to the station. And man, he was all tore up. And I was preaching a message on America. Wake up, America. It was a title message out of Isaiah 1. And, you know, I mean, I preached hell's hot, heaven's sweet. I wasn't mean, wasn't unkind, but I preached. And, you know how it is if you've ever received many compliments. You know that the butt is coming. Right? And so he's going to tell you something. But. He said, "Preacher, I know you're young." He said, I just want to tell you, you can't go to church like that. You can't go to church on preaching like that." He said, "You can't go to church on preaching like that." And I was as kind as I could be to him. I said, "Sir, if God can't do it that way, then God can't do it anyway. God can still do it. It's his way." Oh, yes, that's what he said. Not only can he still do it that way, he wants to do it that way. For souls. Sunday school, through discipleship, through bus ministry, through junior church, through knocking on people's door with a tear in the corner of your eye, and you knock on that door and you say, "Hello, I'm Brother So-and-so, and I'm concerned about your soul." He that goeth forth to preach, very precious to you, shall doubtless, the Bible says, sow in tears, and you'll reap in glory. I heard you and Joseph, he said this, we all believe. Something that ought to bother us is that things don't bother us. God. There's a lot of pastors in this town and others that will tell you they believe God can still do it this way. I believe it, Brother Dix. I believe that it can still happen. I believe God can still do it this way. But they don't have enough faith to move into action. By the grace of God, you and I together, with God's help, will prove that God can still do it the way God has told us to do it. I want to give you tonight 20 marks. I'm going to give you tonight some marks of the Lord's Spirit. Number one, compassion. Jude chapter 1, verse 22, you know it. And of some, have compassion. I'm more convinced now than I've ever been before that the greatest thing that we're missing in all this, the greatest thing we're missing in ministry, the greatest thing we're missing, we can put out the programs, we can buy the material, we can do the big days, we can bring the food, we can bring in the groups to sing, we can bring in the special preachers, we can do all those things, and we can have the program, we all of them. Bible says you get charity, you're sounding right. compassion means sensitivity or concern. Every one of us here could give a laundry list of things. Oh, no doubt we can get so many things that's wrong in our community, wrong in our country, but where's the one that cares enough to do something about it? Where's the one that cares enough that it would move them to action? Where's the one that has the compassion and cares enough and it's going to get them up off of their blessed assurance and out loving people and showing people the love of Christ? Listen, way too many times in our society and way too many times in our churches, we try and fix problems by looking at the symptoms and not the cause. We're guilty of that, right? We're fixers. Most men, we're fixers. We're fixers. People bring me a problem, and I'm thinking of how can I fix it. But too often times, I believe we're guilty of looking at the symptoms and not the cause. And sometimes the thing that just might make the difference in somebody's life is compassion. There's a world of people out there that are living a life that they don't want to live. You know that. There's a lot of people that you don't understand. They don't want to live that life. They don't want to live. We think so many times that they don't want to hear what I got to say. And they just got their lifestyle. They're partying up and they're having a good time. And they love that time. There's some that do. But I'll tell you something. There's a great number of people that they don't want that life. They don't want to live that way. Oh, they wish it could be different. You know what else I'm going to do? They're looking, listen. What they're doing and the things that they're doing is they're simply crying out for somebody to show them love. They're simply crying out, looking for somebody that will show them, I care. Oh, I think about the apostle, I think about the psalmist. And the psalmist David said, oh, I looked on my left hand, and behold, there was no one there. So I looked on my right hand, and he said, not one cared for my soul. No one. God help us to love people and care for people. I'm looking for somebody that will care. I'm talking about compassion. By the way, I don't think we have to compromise and show compassion. You can love people, but you're just a compromiser. Because you show somebody some love, and you don't treat them like a dirt bag just because they're not dressed like you, because they don't smell like you, because they don't look like you. I'm going to tell you something. Some of us, praise God, want people to look like us. Don't act like them. Without everybody looking at them and feeling out of place, I believe they can do that here. Praise the Lord. They ought to walk in the house of God without automatically everybody judging them and everybody looking at them. And as long as I'm pastor here, listen, I don't care who they are, they walk in the house of God, they can hear the gospel of God, and they're going to be able to hear the preaching, and they're going to know people love them, they're going to know this preacher loves them. I hope they're going to know that you love them, and we're going to see them saved. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he saw them all, he was moved from the people. You'd be like Christ. Do you think all those multitudes were in skirts down to their ankle? Do you think they all had on a three-piece suit and a tie? When he's all the multitudes, he was moved. We want to get a look in our eyes, smell them out, acting right. When they're not. Oh, listen, God does the saving and he does the cleaning too. We can let him do what he does. He moved with compassion because they fainted and were a sheep having no shepherd. Do you see people that way? Out in the world, sheep having no shepherd, no direction, no leader, nobody that came. We give you a picture. It's you, Chris. Going by their house and picking up that child that's been abused, picking up that child, listen to me, I know what I'm talking about right here, that's tripped over 25 or walked over 35 beer cans to get to the door. my judgment, not ridicule, but we didn't see the multitude.
Right.
By the way, you were there once. Well, I never did that. Your sins know Jesus and Paul are filthy, they're dirty, they're vile, mine are too. All of our righteousness, the best I can drum up is filthy rags, putrefying leper rags in the sight of God. Where he'll deserve his sin. All of us. I wish we could get to the place where the first thing we had is compassion. Listen, man, when I look, we look around this world. This world is messed up. I mean, it's messed up. I mean, there's a society that's messed up. I'm going home tonight, man, to a nice home. I'm going home to a beautiful wife. I'm going home. I got a couple ugly kids, but I'm, you know, praise God. Listen, there's not booze in the refrigerator. And there's not liquor in my refrigerator. I don't have dope somewhere in the hidden house. I'm not going to go home and feast my eyes on some impure field of pornography because I'm chained to it or addicted to it. Not because I'm good. Oh, but because God's good. And one day it changed my life.
Right.
Somebody loved me. Somebody cared about me. Somebody was concerned for my soul. I wonder tonight, what would Crossroads Baptist Church do? I wonder tonight, how much more could we do if we all were taking action? Would it work, church? A church without blemish, a church without spot, a church that glorifies the Lord? Because Jesus don't love people. Be compassionate. Those who say that they go to Acts chapter 2 quickly. Acts chapter 2. Glorious church number one. Marks of it. Takes compassion. Secondly, cooperation. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully done, they were all with one accord in one place. Now listen to me. It doesn't mean they were all in harmony. Right? They weren't all in harmony with one another. They were all in unity. They were all in the same mind. They all believed the same God. They all had the same purpose. They were in one accord. The early church, look at it in verse number 46. See the early church, and the Bible says, and they, Acts 2:46, and they continually, daily, here it is again, with one accord in the temple. They all had the same mind. But listen, half crowd was going one way and half crowd the other way. It wasn't schisms and schisms and fighting, but with one accord in the temple, daily. Man, it's hard for some church to get along once a week. They did every day, daily. And breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and sincerity, again, singleness of heart. They've been there two or three opinions, two or three ideas. They had a singleness, a single view. One thing, one thing. And that was to serve the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul said, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Did you know? Number one, this ain't my church. Now, I'm a member of this church like you are. This all, maybe whatever else you've heard, but this whole thing in all my ministry, this right here is my ministry where God's put me as the preacher, as the pastor. But I'm not the bus leader. Now, ultimately, I understand that you know, I don't make that final decision, but that's their ministry.
Right.
We're laborers together. Together. You and I. And if we're laborers together, then it takes cooperation from every single one of us to do our part. From all of us. I think about the lame man who was brought to the Lord Jesus, and you think they had to take the cooperation that entailed and that had to happen and take place in order for them to be able to get that lame man to the Lord Jesus. And if, listen, I'm going to tell you something. They had to come in, and they all had to get it. We stopped the bed, and then they had to get up, and they had to figure out how they were going to get the ladder, get on the roof, cooperation to get that man to Jesus, and that several events and several people working in several different areas. And I tell you this, if we're going to get people the Lord Jesus, it's going to take some cooperation. It's going to take some cooperation. And I say this, if you're not on the same page with Crossroads Baptist Church, you're not helping us. If you're not sharing the mission, you're not helping us. Everybody's not going to run that bus right. Everybody's not going to teach the four-year-olds. But find out what God wants you to do. Let's get busy doing it. Compassion, cooperation. Someone wants to say, don't you know it's a third thing? Consistency. Oh, that's a marvelous. The Lord is true. Consistency. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the labor is not in vain anymore. Be steadfast. Here I stand, I will not deviate. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Over the years of ministry, I've seen a lot of people, even just as a church, I've seen a lot of people start out right. I've seen a lot of preachers and pastors start out right. I've heard a lot of good ideas. I've seen a lot of great attempts at things. But so many times they didn't have the resolve to finish it. I'm going to say something. This isn't temporary thing to you. I don't have, I told Brother Jim, we were talking about something else. I don't have a quitting bone in my body. It's not temporary. It's not just something we're doing in this phase of life. We'll move on to something else later. I'm not, listen. The vision that God has given me and not something that's going to be shortly and not something that's going to be a short time to be able to live it out. The vision I believe God wants to do at this place through you and through me. I'm not just trying to have a couple big days and get everybody fired up for a little while. We're not just trying to live on emotion or not just trying to build something up for a year or two. But if this stuff is going to work and if this stuff is going to last, you hear me this morning or tonight, it's going to take some consistency. Some people being consistent. Consistently, every single week, we got to mount the pulpit and we got to preach what thus saith the Lord. We got to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to be consistent in that. Consistent in the message. Not one time preaching Time Magazine and the next time preaching the New York Times. I'm talking about we got to be consistent with the message. We got to be consistent with the music. We got to be consistent with our motive. We got to be consistent in these things. Boys and girls. I'm talking about people that's not in one day out of the nation. Not hot one day over the nation. I'm not telling you that you're always going to be ready to charge hell with a squirt gun when you're serving the Lord. Because let's just face it, it's not always that way. Sometimes you just got to suck it up and be consistent. Be consistent. You know, everybody that starts a race, they start out something, they start out and they're running hard and they're going and they're moving. But I want to finish. I want to finish running hard, and when Christ comes to get his church, I want to be consistently moving forward for the glory of God so that we can be presented a glorious church. We have a consistency, and when he comes, we haven't drifted this way or drifted that way. We're not at church services Sunday morning, but now we're not there Sunday night, or we're there Sunday morning, Sunday night, there Wednesday night, or look for any reason or any reason to miss church, any reason to miss the services, any reason to not be at the house of God. And it's unreal to me the things that people miss church. Oh. I want to finish running wild. Any man, the Bible says, that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Anybody can start the race. Anybody can run the 50-yard dash. By the way, did you know the Christian life is a marathon? Too often times we think it's a 50-yard race, isn't it? Okay. You know what a marathon is? many times takes you all, takes you through the city streets, takes you up through the country sometimes, takes you up in the mountains, takes you on the hills. You run through wind sometimes, you run through rain, you run through snow. It's all those seasons of life. That's a miracle. That's what Christians are looking for. And most folks don't finish a marathon. Any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not yet in the kingdom of God. We ain't ever going back. We're looking forward. We're pressing on. We don't live in the past. Praise God. I'm glad His mercies are new every morning. Aren't you glad about that? Hey, we're pressing on for the glory of God. We're going to reach our new neighbors. We're going to reach our young people. We're going to reach out in the community. We're going to build something here for the glory of God. And I want to tell you this, if it takes anything, it takes consistency. In Sunday morning, Sunday night, 3 to 5, we brought to you. 3 to 5. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, God help us all to be determined and be consistent in our service for Him. You can get all, you can't get all fired up about God and 3 days later act like Jesus don't exist anymore. He's the same God every day, regardless of what you feel like or I feel like. Paul said in Galatians, he said this, watch this. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He also said in Galatians 6, let us not be weary of well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That first verse already said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Notice Paul didn't say what did hinder you. Did you know in one way or the other, it's almost, I'm talking 99% of times, somebody that hinders us. He works through other things, that person, and the devil's behind it working the whole thing. It's somebody that's preventing us from church. Some friend that wants us to stay out, and maybe family member that wants us to do something different or go somewhere else or get out of the will of God or whatever the case is. It's who did hinder you? You did run well. Not what? Then he said, let us not be weary of well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's still extreme, listen to me. It's still extremely possible to have a junior church running 100 and more. Extremely possible. Not only is it possible, I think it's going to happen. Believe with all my heart. A bus route running several hundred on a bad day. By the end of this year, and especially by the end of next year, Lord willing, because I believe these guys are on fire, we're going to do something for God. We're going to be needing another van. We're going to need a bus to keep it going. You say, why? Because there's a little 8-year-old girl out there, never heard of the name Jesus. Who has a mom that's never shown her love, and a daddy that's never shown her love, never shown her compassion. And we want to tell her about a God that wants to show her up. There's a young girl out there that needs God. There's a little young boy out there that needs God. There's a mama and a daddy tonight that needs God. There's a family that needs God. And listen to me, you and I are His ambassadors. We're His mouthpiece. It's the great commission that's been given to all of us as Christians. That commission is, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's given 5 times. In the New Testament. God's doing His work in the church. That's who He commissioned. That's His people that He's going to use to reach the world. A Crossroads Baptist Church very well, and is, I believe, I know, the only hope for some of the new people. If we do not tell them, if we don't preach them, Chris, if we don't stay consistent, because none of us work out there in here tonight. If we don't stay consistent, we're not going to be able to do it. The hope they have, the only hope they have tonight is for the members and workers of Crossroads Baptist Church to be consistent. I love Philippians 1:6, being confident for everything, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Will work till Jesus comes. Will work till Jesus comes. Sing a lot of sing for the work till Jesus comes, and then the call is consistent. Can I say this? I'm true. I pray. I beg God. just being honest with you folks, and I mean just about over anything. I'm talking about get upset over anything and quit over anything. And the thing that makes a glorious church, the thing that makes a healthy church, is for you and me to be consistent at the house of God. Now, some people do very good at consistently doing nothing. Preacher says, be ye steadfast, unmovable. And they're good at that. Right? But this is always abounding in the work of the Lord, that's increasing. Some people do good at consistently doing nothing. Let's find out what God wants you to do consistently. Just do. Every day, day in, day out. Week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. They gave some, this meeting was at, they talked about, someone talked about pastors and preachers. Of course, I know most of the statistics. I've read, I read a lot of blogs and magazines, different things from some of these churches and different groups, you know, that send them to the church and send them to me. But, so I know most of them, but they talk about pastors and preachers, and they, you know, every 4 years, the average preacher leaves, or whatever it is, and different things. And, man, you're never going to get anything done if you're always doing it. You're never going to get grounded. You're never going to see God do a work. You can, in 2 years, 3 years, you can't even get to know the people good enough to love them and pray for them the way you always pray for them. Be consistent. We try to raise our kids in a godly home and do everything right, and maybe even put them in a Christian school. Maybe you did. Maybe you just try to raise them right in a godly home and do things right, and something goes wrong, we quit. Well, that didn't work. Start tithing, things get tight, we quit. You join the choir, we don't like the song because somebody else sung our song. We're not singing. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, if we do, what that does to the Lord. You know? You and I better be glad he didn't quit on us. Oh, listen, as he came down from that Via Della Rosa, he's all beaten and bloody and bruised. You better be glad he didn't quit. And all went to the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne on high. But Preacher, I knew it was going to be all these meetings and it was going to actually require me to do something. I wouldn't have signed up to be that leader of that position. What should we do? Nothing? What kind of church do you want? Be glad you're a part of a place that has a vision, has a desire to do something for God. And as busy as you think you are, I promise you this, and I'm not lying, I promise, I'll swap schedules with you anytime. Listen, I don't go around and give you my itinerary every time I'm doing something. I just keep on keeping on for the glory of God, and I want to be consistent in my service. Tonight, God says, one day, I'm coming back to get my church. We need to work till he comes. He wants to present the glory of his church. Listen, we've come too far to turn back now. Amen? I mean, we're almost home. I believe it's right around the corner. God, help us to pour everything we've got into. I'm going to give you final one more. I give you one. This will be the final one. Commitment. Commitment. Proverbs 3:6. Go there quickly if you will. Once you look at it, I know you should know it. You can go forward, but that's what you look at. It's the only paper. on the chair. Write it down on a piece of paper. If every family, or every person you could even say, but put it both ways, family, was like our family, my family. Every family in this church was like my family in giving, in going, in serving, in praying, in loving. If every family was not like my family in those areas, in giving, in going, in praying, in loving, in serving, what kind of church would this be? If every family was just like my family in giving, would the light come on tonight? If every family was like my family in serving, would we have enough people to serve? Would we get something done for God? If every family was like my family in loving people? If it just in those ways, those areas, what kind of church would we have? These are just some marks that has to be present if we're ever going to be able to be that church. If the Lord wants to be. We're going to take prayer requests tonight. Do we have any?